The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Mary Magdalene, and as other gospelers say, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, went early in the morning to the sepulchre, when it was yet dark, before the sun had crested over the horizon, before there was any light to brighten the day or to illuminate their path, their hearts were heavy. They were devastated and hardly knew how to proceed with the task that they had awoken so early to do. They expected to arrive at the tomb, probably not knowing that the soldiers had the tomb sealed, expected to plead with the soldiers to move the stone aside so they could anoint their Lord. Maybe the soldiers wouldn't move the stone for them. Maybe this was a useless venture. But now that Jesus had been crucified, everything seemed useless. And so where else would one go at a time like this except to a place close to the Lord as one could get, even if they just had to sit in the garden beside the tomb and cry? And as if they had not cried enough already, they no doubt expected to have countless more tears wrung out of them again. They planned to cry their eyes out. What they did not know is that there would be no soldiers standing by the tomb, and the seal would not be on the stone. Something had already happened before they awoke in the darkness of that morning. In the depths and darkness of that tomb, the soul of Christ returned to that body. And Jesus Christ, who had breathed his last, who had cried out, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," who had said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" who had said, "It is finished," that Christ returned. Body, blood, soul, divinity were reunited in a glorified state, and the stone was rolled away. And he, for whom the heavens were darkened as he died upon the cross, for him now the sun could truly rise, for now a new day could truly dawn. The women didn't know it yet, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death to new life had already happened sometime in the night. They would know soon enough. And soon enough, those women could say for the first time the very same words that we say so joyfully today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the first part of why we celebrate this morning. It is the reason that, as St. Paul says, we are not most miserable of all men. But the resurrection of Christ is truly only the beginning. At the Easter vigil last night, we read Old Testament prophecies, and the liturgy of the Missal provides 12 prophecies. We read 4. To be reasonable. But amidst those 12 prophecies are types and shadows of resurrection, for the mastery over death was hinted at countless times in those Old Testament books. One of the most obvious is that of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. The prophet Ezekiel, who was brought to the valley of dry bones and asked by the Lord, "Can these bones live?" And what could he answer as he looked over a valley of the shadow of death, standing with his Lord? What could he answer? Our world would quickly answer, no. Death is the end. Darkness comprehends light. The light of life is extinguished, and a valley of dry bones is the picture of our future. According to an unbelieving world, it might as well be our present. We're just passing time until the real event of our lives, our death. And this day the world will say, "Give me bunnies and eggs and chocolate," as just another distraction on a heap of distractions, so we can forget about death until that day, and even then try to forget about it. Just don't give me talk of a resurrection. Ezekiel gives a better answer to the question when the Lord asks, "Can these bones live?" His answer was not, "No, now let's have distractions." Rather, his answer was, "I don't know, but Lord God, you know." And what took place before his eyes was a vision not simply of one rising from the grave, but scores resurrected at once. Here was a general resurrection prophesied. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The one who created will one day create again, and he begins with Christ. No doubt all that was not in the mind of the women as they approached the tomb, but it could have been. The prophecy was well known. There is a resurrection. Some would rise to be the first, a trailblazer of new life. Why shouldn't that one be Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God? Now, Ezekiel's vision was not the only event of the Old Testament that the women might have known about, but if the vision of Ezekiel had not come to their minds, perhaps these next two verses from the book of 2 Kings surely wouldn't. But nevertheless, consider, I must confess, these are two of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, so I've cherry-picked them for you today. When the prophet Elisha died, he was buried in a tomb. He was laid to rest in a tomb, much as Jesus was. But soon after he was buried, the Israelites were engaged in a battle with Moab. And listen to the words of 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. See if you don't hear something prophetic. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now you can say, what? What in the world happened in Israel? The prophet, the man of God, was buried, and another rose from the dead after coming into contact with him. We admit these are two verses hardly referred to again, but a resurrection indeed. They surely come to mind when we recall what we've heard this Holy Week from the Gospel according to St. Matthew last Sunday, Palm Sunday, in the Passion narrative, another quick verse that we read over. See if the resurrection of Christ isn't only just the beginning. St. Matthew wrote, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And you may stop again and say, what? What is going on in Israel? Ezekiel having a vision, okay, that's a vision. That resurrection at the grave of Elisha, well, that we'll put aside for a moment. The resurrection of Lazarus, when he hears the word of the Lord, well, that's Jesus working a miracle. That's different. And Jesus rising from the dead, that we can handle because that's the Christian faith. But others rising from the dead, a true valley of dry bones obeying the word of the Lord, begun with graves opened on the first resurrection day, well, that's just irrational. That's incomprehensible. And what would that even look like? And the Lord asks, standing at the tomb with you, and says, can these bones live? The answer is, O Lord, thou knowest. And God's answer is this: the life, the light shines in the darkness, the real darkness, the darkness of death and the grave. And the darkness could not overtake it, could not overcome it, could not comprehend it. In fact, the scriptures insinuate what the nature of that victory was, sometimes called the harrowing of hell. And as we pointed out last night with a parishioner, the bulletin cover that we have today and the one from last night, is a picture in which Christ resurrected is standing upon broken chains, keys, broken doors, the gates and power of hell is done. 1 Peter chapter 3, that Jesus descended into the lower parts as his body was laid to rest, and he preached to those spirits that were in prison. Acts chapter 2, and he loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. When the women approached that tomb that first Easter morning, something incomprehensible had already happened. Centuries before, in various events of God's people, and that very day, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God of God, light of light, shined in the darkness, and he came into contact with darkness, and death and hell were overcome as a result. It was enough for them that Christ arose, but he does not rise from the dead alone. Christ brings with him all who die in him, all who are baptized into his death. All who are in Christ rise along with him to newness of life. The resurrection of the dead is the heart of a new reality in all creation, a new life in Christ, prophesied for centuries. There were types and shadows for generations, but when the sun rose on that Easter day, all prophecies were fulfilled, all shadows illuminated, all types subsumed in the archetype, as all had been accomplished in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the Christian faith? We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.